No, it's not live, but it is the news, according to me. Good morning. It is the day after Turkey. It's Friday, November 28th, 8:07 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host with my little faithful little puppy beside me. 2025. December's almost here. Last month of the year. The last year of our decade. Maybe not. Not quite that much. We're almost into our second decade here. Second half of our decade, I should say. Oh, we are. Obviously, we are. Never mind. We've passed the halfway point to 2030. Oh, it's complicated. It's a lot of math. Especially this early in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's quite a lot of math. But in the meantime, I'm your host. Currently, at least anyway, until I get fired. There's always that possibility. Or maybe not, I guess, since I'm the only guy working here. I would have to fire myself, which can be done. I've done that before. Yeah. Of course, I just rehired myself. I made two bad decisions right there in a row. But anyway, in my cup, I've got chai. I have a Big Train creamy chai. Chai latte with a, it's not really on top of it. I did pour it on top, but then I put the hot water in and stirred it. So now it's mixed within is my Almond Joy creamer. My backup cup is simply a cup of water, ice with ice in it, which would make it ice water, which I don't know what the difference is between ice and water. I thought they're both the same thing, just different states of water. One is frozen and the other one's not. But the one frozen one does make the other one colder. Again, this is not a scientific experiment. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a financial counselor. I am just a guy with a microphone who unfortunately has been... why is that turned down? I mean, my cat must have been messing around in here. He doesn't want to hear me, apparently. There, now you can hear me better. That makes more sense. A guy with a microphone who's been granted access to the internet. I don't know who thought of that. That was going to be a good idea. In which I can share my stuff to all people all over the world. The World Wide Web. It's worldwide. It's a web of worldwide webness. I'm in a weird mood today. Like it must have been the tryptophan. I didn't even have turkey yesterday. All I had was steak. That's all I had. I had steak and I had some cheese and crackers and a couple hard-boiled eggs and some Wheaties for breakfast. That's all I had. That's all I had. I had some beans and a little bit of ice cream. And the rest of our leftover pumpkin cheesecake stuff from Papa Vino's. Anyway, wasn't a big feast day for us yesterday. Tomorrow will be the big feast day and I'll be gone. I'm going to miss out on that. So I guess I won't get to participate in any mass quantity of consumption this year for the Thanksgiving holiday. But I was able to spend the day home, which was nice. That's just nice. Now, next month, I already know that I'm not going to be home on Christmas. Well, I'll be leaving on Christmas Day, I think. That's what I have to start a trip on Christmas Day, which is always kind of a... Anyway. However, at the end of next month, I'm planning a schedule vacation. That's what I'm calling it. I have the last few days of the month off next month, and then I'm planning on having the first, 5 or 6 days of the following month off, in theory. And then I will be able to have a nice stretch of days, hopefully 10, possibly more, but it's probably going to be 10, maybe. As much as 10, I should say. But probably going to be more like, 6 days, 7 days, maybe. That's the hope. Now, of course, the rest of the month will stink, kind of. But in order to get that kind of a stretch of days off. However, I would rather have those days. If I'm going to work, I don't care. I just might as well be at work. Anyway, there you go. That's my life now in general. You know pretty much everything about my life. Let's hear about your life. What do you think about my life? I'd like to know what you think about what I think. You can call 812-379-8778, or you can text message that number, or you can go to google.com/voice, put that number in, and you can make a phone call. You can make a call from anywhere in the world, or you can text from anywhere in the world to that number. And I will answer that. Maybe on the show, I may listen to what you have to say. Well, we never know. I have a few things to talk about today. There's a lot of things going on with everything in general. And I just Fridays are always kind of a mishmash of things. Shabbat Shalom, by the way. I have as we go into the weekend here. Of course, this week, kind of summing up everything that happened, the main event that I think that the main tragedy I think that took place was the two guardsmen that got shot this week in D.C. First of all, you know, it's illegal to carry a gun around in D.C. I don't know. There's very few people who have a permit. Basic citizens, just my carry permit does not. You would think in the one city that it would uphold the Second Amendment. You don't have the right to keep and bear arms there. You have to have a special permit. I think it's impossible to get one. There's some of the toughest gun laws in D.C., Virginia in general. There's some pretty tough gun laws. And it's here this guy is walking around with a gun. There's more coming out about this guy, his background and whatnot. He was in a military role in Afghanistan. They knew full well who he was. And I guess the biggest issue is, you know, what happened to this guy? What's wrong with him? He may have, I think there's some kind of psychosis going on with him. And in general, I think it's mostly because who knows what happened to him there. He may have lost a family member in Afghanistan. He may be blaming, you know, during the withdrawal, he may have been, you know, maybe they didn't get everybody out that he wanted them to get out. Maybe some of his family was killed there, and he blames the U.S. military. You know, you have nobody. The withdrawal was handled miserably. It was handled horribly. However, it is crazy, and which is probably what he is. It's just nuts to blame our military for the act that someone else does. In other words, there a little group of people they have there? It's not Al Qaeda. It's whatever it is. Their leaders there that took over the Taliban, is that what it is? I don't know what it is. The coup that happened, or the taking back over of the country, but they're by the locals, the local thugs. What they do is on them. And, you know, it's hard to blame. You know, of course, the U.S. came in, and we supposedly were going to bring some order to the place, and then we just step out. You can say that we, you know, caused the problems there. However, the biggest problem with Afghanistan, we went into Afghanistan originally because of the whole thing that happened on 9/11. We went into Iraq because of what happened between Saddam Hussein and George Bush Sr. In my opinion, George Bush Jr., George W. Bush, just wanted to get Saddam because of his threat against his dad. He even mentioned it at one point. One of his reasons for going in there. there was a personal vendetta, and he decided to throw our troops out. And of course, they had to have a tie to 9/11 and weapons of mass destruction. That whole thing. For some reason, my chai is really good today. And we got a whole bunch of snow last night, last evening and through the night. Not supposed to snow as much today, but it is supposed to snow quite a bit tomorrow and Sunday as well. Looks like it may even hang in there till Monday. I doubt if it'll hang around till Monday. I think we're going to get some snow tomorrow and probably Sunday. We got quite a bit. In fact, I wasn't ready to plow it yet out of my driveway. So I'll have to figure that out. I have to do something with that. I was going to put a snowplow on my mower, and I didn't get that done. I was going to do something, you know, along those lines. Now, we've got, you know, vehicles that can get through pretty much everything, so it doesn't really matter. But I just wasn't ready for that. I'd like to have the driveway clean, but it's not quite enough to pull out the skid steer. I guess maybe it'd be fun to start that thing up and just, you know, move some snow around with it, maybe. I don't know. We'll think about that. It's always fun to get that thing out. I don't know. I'll have to do some shoveling, though. I'm sure of that. Which will be fun. The dogs can frolic around while I'm shoveling, throwing snow all over the place. Very wet snow, by the way. Back to this whole thing. With that happening, and there's also some other things that have been going on. Apparently, James Comey and Letitia James apparently have kind of gotten off of the charges that were against them. I think some of their cases were, I guess the cases were thrown out. Pam Bondi may be on the outs. My understanding is by January, she may be replaced by somebody else. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't think Pam Bondi is doing a good job. I don't think that's the case at all. I'm not sure how much of that is her fault and how much of that is just the case of how messed up everything is. The Biden administration, the people in charge, Merrick Garland and some of the others that were, James Comey and some of the other people who were in charge of, I guess he wasn't really in charge of the FBI, Christopher Wray, and the dilapidated mess that's was left over with regard to some of the, especially the evidence and some of the things in some of the cases that have been destroyed. And of course, all of a sudden it's on the Trump administration now to release the Epstein files, even though they didn't want them released during the Biden administration. It just makes no sense to me whatsoever. They had all that stuff. All that stuff that they've got now is what they had then. The arrest, the raid, all that was done during the former Trump administration. Just the left is, again, it just amazes me how crazy they are. It never ceases to amaze me the levels, the depth that they will go to. And of course, it always gets back to the end justifies the means. This whole thing of, you know, people paying for everything, the government's going to provide you with everything. Now, I do want to kind of get into this a little bit because there are some things about this that I think are important to understand. The economics of it all. One of the things that one of the founders said, maybe I can find this real quickly. I don't know if it's going to be easy to find or not. Hopefully I have internet this morning. When the people realize they can vote for themselves from the Treasury. Let's see what I can find here. Quote by Alexander Fraser Tytler. I guess his name. Let's see what this. I think this is it right here. When the people find they can, this may have been Benjamin Franklin, but this is also a quote from Alexander Fraser. Let me just open these two up here and see what. I believe it was Alexander Fraser that said it first, and then I think that it was Alex de Conti. Say check it. Okay. Let's see what this is. This is Alexander Frazier. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It could only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse, which is funds. From, why didn't you say funds? These old people have to use these big words because they read a lot. Go away. I don't want advertisements. From the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates, promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that the democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been about 200 years. This guy wrote this 20 years ago, probably about 100 years ago. These nations have progressed through this sequence from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness. It's exactly the stage we are in now. From selfishness to apathy. We are rapidly going into that. From apathy to dependence, because you can see that starting to rise now, from dependence back into bondage. It is a, I'm gonna put this on a plaque, actually, because that deserves to be somewhere. Where's my text? I have to put that in a text file. Where'd it go? I don't see it anywhere. Find it here. Yeah, I'm gonna save that for sure. I'll just put it in my notes right there. Yeah, that's what we're gonna. I think Benjamin Franklin also said something similar to that. But I believe this Alexander Frazier Tytler guy was around prior to that. I think he was around prior to him. Miscellaneous. Let's just put it under miscellaneous, I guess. Yeah, I don't see any place else I can put it. I'll just start a new note. Call it quotes. That's what I'll do. That's what we'll do here. It's arranging things all over the place. Doing all kinds of things here. So how about new notes? There we go. Write a new note. Quotes. That's what we'll call this. Quotes from people. How about that? Just put that right there. All right, there we go. Now, having said that, now let's look at this thing from Benjamin Franklin. Did Benjamin Franklin say, when the people find out that they can vote themselves money, that will herald in the end of the Republic? And if so, what was the context? I think he was quoting, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. He's quoting Alexander here. It can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote for itself largesse out of the public treasury. After that, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits, with the result the democracy collapses because of the loose fiscal policy ensuing, always to be followed by a dictatorship, then a monarchy. Not exactly the text. This is kind of something, Alexander, this is talking about Tytler's writings. So that's Franklin came from that. I can say with near certainty that it was not a Franklin quote. Okay, so that Franklin did not say that. If he did say it, it was a quote of Tytler. This would have been, this article was done in 1951. This is, this post was 10 years ago. So the basics of this, I think, was what it was said here was that it was said about 200 years ago. Interestingly enough, they knew this back then, and this is one of the reasons I think why supposedly this conversation between some lady and Benjamin Franklin after they came out from the when they decided finally put together the whole form of government was that it was going to be a republic. And of course, she said, "What kind of government do we have?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." There are dangers to that, because a republic, once it's established, is kind of established. It's not, it's based on the individual rights. And if people don't stick up for their rights, that starts to become undermined, and which is what democratic socialism is absolutely that. You not only have a socialist economy, you have a socialist government that gives you its rights. It gives you your rights. Keep in mind, these are the people who keep saying, you know, the Congress has given these people so many rights. We have to protect more rights. I heard something the other day. Nick Freitas, not Fuentes, Freitas. He's a representative. Pretty solid guy. He had this. I wish I could find it. I cannot find it anywhere. It was on a short, I believe, a YouTube short. But it was several days ago when I heard this. But it was an excellent argument. And this he you know, this whole thing with Bernie Sanders. You know, he's always saying, oh, health care is a fundamental right. It's a fundamental human right. Fundamental human rights. Housing, health care, fundamental human rights. Okay, what is a human right? Is it in the Constitution? Is that something that's in the Constitution? Isn't the Constitution our fundamental human right acknowledgments, protections? And by the way, Congress did not give us those things. It was acknowledged by our forefathers that it was. We are endowed with those things from our Creator. And that's now. I think I mentioned this the other day. I'm not sure if I posted that show or not. But many of the founders that we commonly think of as like Thomas Jefferson, those godly men that we think of them as being, principled men, yes, brave, courageous. Thank you for what they did for the establishment of what we got in our republic. Yes. However, the men themselves. In terms of their theological background, most of them were deists. They did not necessarily believe in. I think I may have mentioned something like the Thomas Jefferson Bible and all that stuff. A lot of respect for those guys. However, they were wrong in their theology, in my opinion. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. Disclaimer, but the interesting thing about all that is how they play that out, and then we come to this whole idea of how Congress gives us these rights. Now, when the Health Care Act was passed, when the ACA was passed under Obama, there was a congressman that stepped up and he said, "This of all the rights this Congress has given the people, this is one of the most important it's ever been." Excuse me? Congress gave us our rights? And this is where the fundamental rights thing, fundamental human right, it's a fundamental human right. We have a health care crisis. We have a health care crisis, a housing crisis. Just on and on and on. We're the richest nation in the world. We can't afford health care. Where did that wealth come from? You know, when you talk about the richest nation in the world, are you talking about the government? Our government is so far in debt, it doesn't understand what wealth is. If my financial balance sheet looked like the government's financial, you'd call me dirt poor and on the verge of bankruptcy. Now, if I could print my own money out, that would be a whole other story. But that's the problem with that is, when the government prints out money, it makes your money worth less. You see, from the time that we were taken off it's the silver standard, gold standard, whatever you call it, the money standard, the intrinsic value standard when we became a fiat currency, which is based on nothing, a good faith in whatever of the U.S. dollar. When that happened, the government could just print money with impunity. Basically, they have to issue bonds. It's a process. It's all debt. All money is considered debt. It's hard. I'm not going to get into all that today, but you can look that up on YouTube. Just type in money. The U.S. dollar money is all debt. You'll get a whole bunch of people explaining the whole process of that whole thing. Now, in the middle of that, you have a a system now where if you had 200 million people, when I was going through high school, going through grade school, I should say, back in the early 70s, I was going through grade school. And right about that time, there was about 200 million people in the country. And of course, we were going to be overpopulated. We were already overpopulated at that point. Now we got 325 million, still plenty of room for people to live. But they're just asking for more people to come in. We need more people because we need more tax payers. We need more tax dollars. But they're trying to turn us into a socialized country because they can take more control. And the people who are power hungry, they believe all the money in the world is all the money in the country. It belongs to them. And it was just, you know, it's just on loan to us, even though we worked hard for that. And even when you do buy something, especially when you buy property, anything that's intrinsic that should be long-lasting, that your family should be able to have in your family history, your family lineage for the rest of their lives, well, we have to tax that now too, just because you have it. Not because it's an increase. We just want to tax it. That'd be one thing if they taxed you on the increase of the value of your home. If they said, okay, so you bought your house for $100,000 and, you know, now it's gone up $5,000 in the last year, so we're going to tax you 7% or, you know, whatever it is, 2% or whatever it is on that increase. So they tax you on that increase. And the next year it goes up to $120,000. That's a $15,000 increase, so they're going to tax you 2% on that $15,000. That's one thing. Even though it's an unforeseen, it's an unrealized gain, basically. It's not like you can get your money out of that, unless you've got to take out a loan, which you're going to have to pay your taxes, probably. But it's one thing after another with all that kind of stuff. And the problem is they're taxing you on just owning it. Well, your house is worth $120,000, so you owe us this much money. Now they claim that you have to take care of the schools and fire department and the police department. Has to pay for that. That's because you're getting they're guarding your house and you're going to their school, to the school within your community, and you're driving on these roads. Of course, that's a road tax, that's, you know, fuel tax kind of thing. But this whole idea that because you're living there, you are reaping the benefits of having protection from police department and covering. By the way, most fire departments now will send you a bill after they put out the fire at your house. Surprisingly enough, of course, the school system, which is doing such a fine job now, so all those taxes go to that. The property taxes supposedly go to those kinds of things. Mostly, by and large, go to pay for those kinds of things. Of course, there's a park budget. There's all kinds of other things that, you know, some of those money's funds go to. Now, the problem is some people don't have kids. Now, there are people who will argue that, well, you're still benefiting from the education of the community. Okay, yeah. Well, I also benefit from my neighbor investing in their house and making it nicer, because my neighborhood value of my property will go up if the properties around me are going up in value. You can't quantify that. Exactly how much benefit did I get out of my neighbor's kids being educated? What if they were homeschooled? What if they sent them to private school? There's a point here where I think that we need to kind of back up here. Do you realize the nation went for about 120 years without any income tax or property tax? This other issue is, okay, if you pay property tax, it used to be, then for a while, it was people who could vote. Only people who could vote were landowners, in many cases, were the ones who could vote. Of course, if you're paying property taxes, they give you the right to vote. If you don't pay any property tax, if you don't own any land, then you don't get to vote. Because the people we're voting for are the people who affect our tax rates. But now you have everybody voting, and they can vote out for themselves Largesse. Largesse, or whatever you want to call it. Largesse, Largesse, whatever, Largesse, or Largesse, yes. Out of the public treasury. Benefits from the public treasury. Let's find out what this word means. It's just bothering me that I don't. Let's go look at the definition. Maybe we can find the definition of this word. Largesse. How do I do this? Let's see if we can find it here. Define. Let's just do that. I'm just going to paste it right in there. See what that means. Liberality is bestowing gifts, especially in a lofty or condescending manner. Money or gifts bestowed, generosity of spirit or attitude. So the definition refers to the generous giving of money or gifts, often to those considered less fortunate. You can also describe the act of being liberal in bestowing favors or assistance. So it's just benefits, getting benefits from the government based on the whole thing with the, you know, voting ourselves benefits, basically, which is exactly what they do. Now, they use a particular term. It's in the Constitution. The one phrase in the Constitution, I wish they could change it. It says that the government has the right to do things for the general welfare, which is why they call welfare welfare. That's the whole reason they use that word for government assistance. It's called it welfare because that's in the Constitution. The general welfare didn't mean necessarily that was for individuals handing out SNAP benefits to anybody. But that's what it's become. Now, I have no problem with a safety net. I have no problem with social programs that help to protect people. Not one bit. I don't have a problem with that at all. However, the only problem I do have with it is that it has become a replacement for the church and the responsibility of the church. The church is supposed to be the place in every community or organization, even just a nonprofit organization. It is supposed to be the community's responsibility to take care of the community. However you do that, whether it's through the church or some other organization, however you want to do it. I don't believe that the government should be in that position. That they should be collecting our dollars to be benevolent to others. Government isn't benevolent. It shouldn't be considered that way. It should be the people giving to other people. You know, there's a big, when they were handing out the checks, the stimulus checks or the relief checks that they were giving to everybody during COVID. I talked to some people who said they weren't going to accept it. They were, I don't need it. I'm not going to take it. Take it. What do you think is going to happen to it if you don't take it? And here's the reason. Maybe you don't need it. Go ahead and take it. And give it to somebody you know personally who actually needs it. You'll do more good that way. There'll be more benefit that way than just letting them give it to somebody else. Because most of it's going to go to fraud. And a lot of it did. And now they're finding that out now. They're finding out how much fraud was actually the problem during most of that situation. However, just take it, whether you need it or not, and give it to somebody you know that does need it. That's my advice. Now, I'm not saying that's morally right or better. I'm just saying that makes more sense to me. Where's it going to go if you don't take it? That's the big question that I would have. And, you know, they're going to spend it somewhere. Might as well put it in the hands of somebody who's going to do something right with it or better with it. I don't know. If you personally know somebody who needs it, that's better than the government just doling it out to willy-nilly. So there you go. That's my theory. Sticking with it. All right. What else do we want to talk about today? This is where we're going with all this social stuff. And it's just like Mamdani What ends up happening is the people who know they're going to get taxed, people who know they're going to get their wealth taken away from them, stolen from them, the ones who are being vilified. Nobody should be a millionaire. By the way, Mamdani's on his way to being a millionaire. They just upped his salary before he even stepped into office. That the entire council, New York City Council, voted themselves about a 16 or 17% raise, I believe, somewhere around there. Which means that now, Mamdani, his salary is going to be higher than anybody in Congress. In fact, I think the city council now has upped their salary to the point where they're higher than anybody else. And just the ridiculousness of this whole thing. I mean, you give the guy 5 years, give him a full term as mayor here. He's going to be a millionaire. And that's the way this happens for these people. They turn into oligarchs. They're the ones who turn into these people. Who Bernie Sanders, who was millionaires, he was all about getting after those people. When he became a millionaire, all of a sudden he stopped talking about millionaires, and now it's all about billionaires. That's the way it works. They get up into those positions, and then they stay in those positions because they like the power, they like the manipulation, they like the money that comes with it. The cush lifestyle, the way they, you know, parade themselves around as if they're fighting for the little guy. For the working class, for healthcare. And they just keep shouting that rhetoric. We have a healthcare crisis. We're the richest nation in the world. We have a healthcare crisis and a housing crisis. What are you doing about it? No, well, you're saying you're fighting for the little guy. You're the one making more. You're increasing your wealth. Mamdani will be making, I think it's 4 or 5 times more than the average salary in New York City. This is a typical, this is where it goes, to the dictatorship, to the monarchy, to the socialists who rise to the top. They want to be at the top of the piggy pile, ushering in the socialism, but they're going to be the ones at the top, making all the money, making all the decisions. Well, this Alexander Frazier guy, I saw this. He died at 65. Just a couple of years older than me. His picture here looks really old. He looks old. But, you know, back then they all look old because it's an old picture. Anyway, I don't know what kind of iPhone he had took that picture with, but it was, anyway, it's not a very good selfie. I'm just saying. Folks, as we're going into the weekend, I just want you to, this weekend of Thanksgiving that we have, I think this is, in fact, by the way, there's a lot of people on the left try to vilify Thanksgiving. Oh, it's the Indians, blah, 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 the Native Americans, and blah, 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 blah. They talk about how the white man came here and destroyed the Native Americans. As if they were just living here in peace. And there are people who actually teach this in college courses. They were all just living here and hugging trees and living in peace. And their poop didn't stink. And they were just all just wonderful people. Folks, there was slavery here when the Native Americans were here. Tribes would take they would invade other tribes. They would take their women, many times kill the men, take their women as slaves, if you want to call them that, or just put them to work as slaves. There were tribes in this nation that, on this continent, that were afraid of other tribes because they were so vicious and ruthless. There were territorial battles here that they don't want to talk about. Weird religious practices, human sacrifices, all kinds of crazy, weird things going on here. There was cannibalism. And it amazes me that we want to just forget about that. They were just these wonderful people who lived in harmony, perfect harmony with nature. And we came in and destroyed it. There's just all kinds of weird, wacky statistics you'll find out. You know, like how many Native Americans lived here in the U.S. in the upper continent, North America, when the white man first showed up here. There are people who will tell you that there were, what was it? I think one of the estimates I saw was 120 million people, North America. 120 million people, Native Americans. Unsustainable. There's no way that woods dwellers, off-grid wood dwellers, there's no way there could have been that many. No way. Now, there may have been that many during the course of the first couple hundred years since 1600 when they first, you know, whatever, however you want to count that. They're messing with the numbers here. And of course, that was probably the whole continent of America, North and South America, Central America, the whole thing. And it's all an estimate. But there's no way there were that many people. Let's see here. Population. Of the U.S. in 1776. The estimated population of the United States in 1776 was 2.5 million people. This figure does not include Native Americans. They were generally not counted in the early census. Do you think there were more? Do you think there were 100 million? Do you think there were 50 million? Do you think there were 30 million Native Americans? I don't think so. There's no way. From 1776 to 1790, we went from 2.5, right around 2.6, 2.7 million to 3.9 million, not quite doubled. The first official census was conducted in 1790, which recorded a population of approximately 3.9 million. The growth from 1776 to 1790 reflects the early expansion of the nation. Now, the 1865, let's look at this, 1610, approximately 9 million, population 9.6 million. 1620, it's interesting that 1776 there'd be 220. Yeah, okay. 9,000. This is, of course, this is all people in the census. 1760. What is that? Population 200. It's completely different. 203 million. Oh, that's in 70. This is the way they got this column set up. That's very bizarre the way they set that up. Yeah, 2.1 million in 1770, 1810, 7 million people. By 1900, there were 76 million people in the nation. By 1900, the first time we passed 100 million people was about 1910, about 1915, right before the First World War. We had 100 million people. Think about how populated it was at that time, and think about how do you think there were that many Native Americans here? There's no way. It was unsustainable. When you have, you know, modern farming, or which would have been at that time considered modern farming and modern, there's no way that any woods could support that many people. These are people who were barely, you know, living, their sustenance was just not that great. Didn't have anything mechanized. I'm basically talking about people who are camping all the time. Just think about that. Hunter-gatherers. There's no way it could have supported that many people. The idea of modern farming and raising cattle, that kind of thing, that wasn't happening. They were living off the land completely. So it wasn't going to happen that way. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. So some of these numbers, just they freaks me out how they twist the numbers around. Of course, they teach this kind of stuff in universities, and they have all kinds of weird ideas that people who have never been outside of academia and actually lived in the real world have they have no common sense. They have no ability to critically think about any of this kind of stuff. They don't have any ability to really play into. They just get their skulls full of mush, just filled with all more mush, and they soak it all up, and then they go out. There are people who are saying that Karl Marx was a capitalist. What are you talking about? They like to, you know, once they find out that Karl Marx was not a good guy, like Che Guevara was not a good guy, and they, once they find that out, then they vilify him with, well, he was a fascist Nazi. By the way, Nazi stands for National Socialist Workers' Party in Germany. In German, that's what it stands for. N-A-Z-Y-Z-I. It's the words there. National Socialist Workers' Party. And yet it's considered a far-right extremist group. Political ideology. Far-right. It's so far-right that it's gone back left, but they don't want to acknowledge that. They were democratic socialists. And from what we understand... Anyway, all right, folks, I really probably should just end the show here. Again, let me know what you think about what I think. It's 812-379-8778. We're going into this next week. I believe next week I will be able to have a... wife just sent me a picture of the cat laying on her head. Basically, he's kind of keeping her from getting up, supposedly. That's the excuse we use around here when a cat's laying on us. I can't get up. I'm stuck here. I can't move. Next week, from Appleton, I believe I will be Omaha, Nebraska. I'm sorry. I'll be in Omaha and Appleton next week for doing my shows. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your weekend. Happy Thanksgiving. Take care. I will see you.